always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast, a part of this here Lakers Lounge Podcast Network. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Today in the show, we're going to be talking about Luka. I went ahead and recorded a few of these player previews for while I am on vacation. So this is going to be one of them. Going to record an Austin Reeves one, going to record a Walker Kessler one, and then I'm going to kind of decide from there which other previews are worth kind of spending a little bit more time on, as well as deciding which previews I would like to bring a guest on for. This one, like I said, it's going to be Luka Doncic. It is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of Prize Picks lineups. Whenever you sign up, use the promo code and win your first lineup. Also, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show as well as notifications for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to this via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but they are all perfectly fine with me. All right. So we're going to talk about Luka Doncic, why everything is riding on him, why he's my MVP pick this season, what he'll need to do defensively to also to further that MVP case. I want to kind of spend a little bit of time on what the Lakers are going to do as far as Luka ball versus a balanced offense. And then the other overriding story going into this upcoming season is going to be his intentions on signing an extension in the not so distant future. So plenty of stuff to get to here as we talk about the man that the Lakers were built around, Luka Doncic. So it pretty much goes without saying, but it's worth saying it anyway. If Luka Doncic doesn't have multiple MVP caliber seasons, not saying he wins them, because we know how the voters feel about the Lakers. But if Luka doesn't rip off 4 or 5 incredible seasons here, the Lakers' chances of winning a championship are just moot. They are non-existent. The Lakers told LeBron James to go away, or there was some combination of LeBron getting sick enough of the Lakers to walk away. Regardless, the Lakers basically said, nope, this is the Luka Doncic era, and we believe in this guy, and we believe in what he can do with the basketball in his hands on a more frequent basis without the concerns of having to balance Luka having the ball with LeBron having the ball. Now, they're still going to have to balance that with Luka having the ball and having the ball, but that's very different, right? Austin having the ball as a secondary creator is very different from one of the greatest creators of all time in LeBron James standing over there in the corner wondering when it'll be his time to dribble. And so for Luka, pressure's on. And this is pressure that I don't think he'll have ever felt before. Now, he felt some, obviously, in Dallas. Obviously, everything was riding on him there in Dallas. But the amount of attention paid to Luka as a Laker, and especially in this post LeBron era, given the way that things ended with LeBron, that is a completely different animal altogether. So as far as what is expected of Luka, it is, you know, he's entering his year 28 season. I think I have that right. Yes, I do. Yeah. He'll be 28 for most of the season. But yeah, he turns 28 in February. But anyway, as far as like what is expected of Luka, he's entering his prime. And the expectation is some of the best basketball that we'll ever see. And by the way, we can have those kinds of expectations of Luka because we've seen him already. Before he got hurt, right at the tail end of the season, he was playing some of the best basketball in the world. He was playing some of the best basketball, honestly, that I've ever seen. He was absolutely incredible in terms of creating his own shot, creating other players' shots. I thought the Lakers had kind of found their stride defensively, and he was a part of that too. That's the caliber of basketball that the Lakers are going to need year in, year out from this guy. Maybe not to such that incredible extent. And there are obviously, you know, it is one of those things that the Lakers are going to have to put him in the right spots and make it so that they're putting his teammates in the right spots so that he can help get the most out of those teammates that the Lakers can hope to get. But end of the day, like, this is the kind of expectations that all-time great players step into, and he is absolutely an all-time great player. So is it necessarily fair for me to say, yeah, Luka, go out there and be the best basketball player I've ever seen? Not necessarily, but that's how the Lakers were built. And if they want to win championships, especially in the era of Wemby, in this era with the Oklahoma City Thunder, in this era where Wemby and the Oklahoma City Thunder weren't able to topple the New York Knicks, who are bringing back most of that roster again next season, in this era where he's going to have to compete against LeBron James potentially in the finals, if Philly is able to stay healthy. What is expected of players, great, great, great players, in if they're going to win championships or if their teams are going to win championships, is those guys have to be beyond reproach on a basketball court. And doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, like, I'm not expecting Luka to shoot 80% from the field or anything astronomical like that. But frankly, like, my expectations here, your expectations here of Luka don't really matter. If the Lakers want to win a championship, Luka has to be damn near, if not the actual best basketball player in the world. If not, then the pressure falls to Austin, and it falls to Kessler, and it falls to Grimes, and it falls to the rest of this roster to pick up the slack and help the Lakers win that championship with Luka playing at a top five level or at a top 10 level. And by the way, if Luka dips into that top 10 level, then it's just not happening. It just is not happening for the Lakers that season. So how will he get there? First and foremost, you know, and as far as how he's going to get there or what it's going to look like is he's going to have to go into the season. And he's going to have to remain in that inner circle conversation for MVP. And again, we know the stats on the Lakers' chances of winning any of these end of season awards. So whether or not he wins it is kind of besides the point, because I think a lot of the voters have kind of made up their minds on some of these things before the season even starts. But if the Lakers are going to be one of those inner circle title contenders, maybe not next season, but certainly over the course of Luka's prime, Luka, in those seasons that the Lakers want to be those inner circle contenders, he's going to have to be a dominating force in the conversation for MVP. So that means all of the stuff that we understand that Luka is capable of offensively, but also it means not having so many extremely loud, poor defensive moments. And it also, by the way, as far as his MVP season goes, it's also going to have to feature a lot less yelling at the referees. I understand that that is something that he does to unleash some of his competitive fire, some of that extra energy that he has in basketball games. But we saw something really interesting when he was up against suspension last season. I thought he played some of his best basketball of the year when he could not pick up technical fouls. And he spent a lot less time yelling and bitching and moaning at the referees. Like, it was a very different Luka Doncic. And I know his fans are going to be up in arms about me bringing this up or whatever, but it is a part of his kind of league-wide image and his brand, is that on every play, this guy is going to turn around and say something to the referee, whether he makes a shot or especially if he misses a shot, he's going to say something. And I do think that that can sometimes get in the way of his effort or engagement level in a basketball game. It's a distraction. I remember when I was a kid, I used to pitch in baseball, and I was a pretty good little pitcher. I was left-handed and I threw a good curveball. But I didn't throw very hard. And I remember my dad would say, after some of the games that I would pitch in, he would say, you know, you were pitching really well until I saw you kind of messing around with the mound, the dirt on the mound. And now all of a sudden it becomes this distraction and you become even a little bit focused on that. And it just messed with your game. And I think there's something to it. I think that, you know, ask any golfer, right? The moment that you think of the type of shot you don't want to hit, guess what type of shot you're probably going to hit? That mental part of sports can't be overlooked. And I think oftentimes with Luka, when he gets too involved with the referees, it does take over some of the mental aspects of his game. And look, maybe it's confirmation bias because I don't particularly like watching him bitch and moan and whine to the referees, but I watched him play some of his best basketball as a Laker last year when he couldn't pick up that final technical that eventually did cost him a suspension. And eventually, you know, he got that tech and you know, we saw how that played out. But what I would like to see here with Luka this upcoming season from in regards to his MVP candidacy is to not be up against suspension, to not be on pace to be eventually or be concerned about getting suspended. And if that is something that happens next season, I like his chances for MVP. I like his chances for MVP regardless, because he's going to have the ball as much as he's going to have it. And the Lakers have so much riding on Luka Doncic playing MVP caliber basketball. I also like his chances for MVP because I think he's that talented a basketball player. When Luka has it going, there are just very few forces in the NBA that feel as inevitable as one of those Luka tidal waves. And the more of those that we get, the better I like the Lakers' chances at accomplishing their goals, at least in the regular season. Now, if the Lakers want to do something productive or have a productive playoffs, Luke is going to have to really step it up defensively. The Lakers really kind of doubled and tripled down on the offensive makeup of this team. Now, later in the offseason, they did add guys like Matisse Thybul and Zaire Williams, and they do have, you know, some guys that, you know, Walker Kessler is obviously the linchpin to their defense as well. But the Lakers basically said, all right, we need to make offense as easy as we possibly can make it on Luka, on Austin Reeves. So they provided Grimes to help space the floor. Not necessarily known as a defender, not an incapable defender, but certainly more of an offensive-leaning basketball player. They also signed Mamu, right? Who, look, he is a floor-spacing big, and typically floor-spacing bigs aren't known for what they bring to the table defensively. Now, we'll see what the Lakers wind up doing from the small forward standpoint. We'll see if eventually they do wind up with Jonathan Kuminga. And if they do, then that would certainly help a little bit with their defense. But overall, like, this roster is not one where Luka and Austin, for that matter, can just coast defensively and can be defensive liabilities. They're going to have to defend. they're going to have to take up space. One thing I do like about Luka is that he is so big that it's a little easier to hide him than it would be for like a guard, right? That really kind of helps. But the type of defense that I want to see Luka play, and he always does have pretty good steal numbers, but the kind of defense that I would like to see Luka play, because he is so smart and because he has such a great understanding of basketball from an offensive standpoint, just stand in spots. Spend as much time in spots that you know offenses have to operate through. The elbows, the paint, you know, the pinch post, passing lanes that you know, you start to notice teams throw a lot of those passes. Go stand over there in one of those passing lanes. Be an effective rebounder. Box out, you know, do stuff like that. And then, you know, when the Lakers do get a rebound, go get that ball as quickly as you possibly can. Or ideally, Luka, you grab the rebound and throw those hit ahead passes that allow the Lakers to get out and run a little bit, to make life a little bit easier on you offensively, right? If the Lakers don't get enough stops to get out and run frequently enough, I'm a little nervous that you're asking a little too much of Austin and of Luka in the half court. Last year, I really liked the Lakers' chances in the half court, especially once they had kind of figured out the whole Luka, Austin, LeBron dynamic. And I thought that like late in games, they were kind of overwhelming offensively because of all of the entry points into the offense that Luka and Austin and LeBron could open up. This year, it's when you take LeBron out of that equation, it does fall even more on Luka and Austin. So I think it's really important that those guys defend well enough so that the Lakers can get out and run frequently enough so that they aren't asked to do quite as much in the half court as they did last season. So, look, we can talk about the regular season MVPs, and we could talk about his candidacy for those awards. His defense will also obviously impact that candidacy. But if the Lakers want to do anything whatsoever in the playoffs, it's going to involve Luka and Austin defending at above average levels. Not elite, obviously, not even good, but don't be bad. Don't be, you know, like I actually think those guys are very capable of, like, average should be the floor for them. Above average is all I'm asking. Like, I'm not asking you guys to go out there and be Tony Allen, be Draymond Green, be Anthony Davis, be Scottie Pippen. No, I just want you guys to be at your worst average, and at your best above average. Just kind of, you know, cruise along at that speed defensively. All right. The next aspect of this conversation, and this is one that I find absolutely fascinating, and this is one where I'm going to be paying a lot of very close attention to JJ Redick's offensive design. What the Lakers have historically done when they've had a player of Luka's caliber before it was LeBron was basically they would hand the offensive keys to that player and say, take us home, right? And they also did that with their defense with Anthony Davis, where it was like, take us home. Also, we're going to give you some truly shit defenders that you have to make up for. And by the way, they're going to be doing some of that with Walker Kessler this year from a defensive standpoint, where they're going to be basically like, all right, anchor this thing and take us home defensively. And what the Lakers are going to be tempted to do here with Luka Doncic, and I do think this will have to be probably the biggest part of their offense, is Luka ball. But what they're going to be tempted to do, and I think they have to just slightly balance this out, is just overwhelm teams with that Luka ball. Put the ball in his hands at an insane usage rate, or with an insane usage rate, and have him just try to dominate the other team by way of pick and roll, by way of pinch post stuff, by way of low post stuff, by way of isolation, when you get the right switch that you're looking for. Like, Luka, they're going to have a heaping helping of. But what I want the Lakers to also understand is they have enough creativity on this team to where it doesn't have to be an astronomical usage rate for Luka night in, night out. Maybe by the time we get to the postseason, you rely a little bit more heavily on Luka ball. And obviously late in games, you're going to want the ball in Luka's hands, but between Austin, between Colin Sexton and the type of pick and rolls that he can run with Walker Kessler, let alone the fact that the Lakers finally have a guard in Colin Sexton who can go by guys on his own. That's kind of exciting to think about. Quentin Grimes is a fine-ish isolation basketball player. I think that's something that they're going to lean on a little bit. Jonathan Kuminga, if he is ever a Laker, is going to want some touches here and there as well to keep him engaged. And then also, like, I'm really kind of curious what the offense looks like in those stretches where Walker Kessler is kind of a fulcrum to everything, operating out of the high or pinch posts. That would be intriguing to me. The other thing I'm also kind of looking for this season is a little bit more creativity involving Jared Vanderbilt whenever he is out there. And you can extend that theory to Adu Thiro as well, where those two guys, instead of having them just kind of stand there in the corner and play into the defenses wanting to ignore them, I would like to see Vando and Thiro involved in dribble handoff stuff and pick and roll stuff. Some more of that kind of connectivity there in the elbow or mid-range areas. That's something that I would like to see added to the offense this season. Obviously Luka's going to have the highest usage rate of anybody on the team, and it probably won't be particularly close. But between all of the options that the Lakers have, and by the way, I would like to see the Lakers run some, like, J.J. Redick talked going into last season about I think they called them gadget plays or something like that, that he learned going to Rams practice, where the Rams just have, like, on their most important plays of the game, you knew that Matthew Stafford was going to be involved. You knew that Kyron Williams was going to be involved. You knew that Puka Nacua was going to be involved. Like, on those plays that the Rams needed 5 yards, needed 10 yards, needed 15 yards, they knew who to lean on, and they knew how to get there. And I would like for the Lakers this season to do a little bit of that with Luka and Austin. Luka, Austin, and Kessler. Those are some of the things that, at least in theory, that the Lakers went into last season hoping to utilize. I thought that got better over the course of the season with Luka, Austin, and LeBron. But something that I would like to see this year is dribble handoffs with Luka and Austin, those fake dribble handoffs that you can run because of the amount of attention that is spent to Austin. And then another part of this too, from a balance standpoint, is Luka can't do the James Harden thing of give the ball up and then go stand at half court and not provide any spacing. When Luka doesn't have the basketball, the Lakers are still going to need him to be a threat. And so, like, I want him to be an effective catch and shoot threat out there in those stretches where Austin has the ball, or for those plays that Austin has the ball. I want Luka to be, an effective cutter or offensive rebounder even on those plays where, like, Quentin Grimes winds up with the basketball late in the shot clock. Point being, again, that, yeah, Luka's going to have the ball plenty. I'm looking forward to Luka having the ball plenty. But in those stretches where he doesn't, he still needs to be effective. He still needs to be impactful. So that's what I mean when you see that bullet point of Luka ball versus balanced offense. It's not one or the other. That's the point of balance, right? Is that you can on any given play, Luka can be a threat whether he has the ball or he doesn't. And that's going to be one of those absolutely critical factors that makes the Lakers offense so dynamic and so overwhelming that it can kind of make up for some of the lack of elite defensive personnel that they have, that they, you know, don't have on the perimeter. The final thing here, the final bullet point here, and a storyline that is going to be, you know, covered to a pretty sizable extent is going to be extension watch. Now, he isn't eligible for the extension, obviously, this upcoming season, but he is eligible, I believe, for his extension in 2028. And this, like, depending on how this season goes, this is usually the time where stars start looking around a little bit. Now, Luka was heavily involved in putting this roster together. Rob Pelinka is going, whenever he talks, he's going to tell everybody that he and Luka, you know, utilized that partnership or took advantage of that partnership to put this roster together. And they're very proud of what the work that they were able to do together to build this roster. But if this roster doesn't pan out, if Walker Kessler isn't the borderline all-star that the Lakers think he is going to be, if Austin did top out, you know, go by, you know, following that Peter principle of, you know, you keep getting promoted until you get promoted one spot too high and then you slip back down. Maybe that is what we watch from Austin, where he isn't a true second best player on a title contender. Maybe, you know, Grimes did top out as a sixth man, but isn't necessarily a starter. If some of those things, if some of those gambles that Luka and Rob partnered on together, then they, you know, what's going to happen or what could happen is maybe what we saw when the decision to acquire Russell Westbrook backfired on LeBron and Rob Pelinka, and you got that leak off, and eventually there was so much animosity there that a couple of years later, both of those entities were ready to move on from each other. But another fallout, if this roster and some of the gambles that the Lakers made in building this roster don't pan out, is Luka starts looking at Denver and going, it'd be fun to play with Jokic. Maybe he looks at Minnesota and says, might be fun to play with Ant. You know, maybe he looks towards the Eastern Conference and says, the path to the finals, a little easier that way. Maybe he looks back at Dallas and says, they fired Nico. You know, and I'm not saying that this is definitely going to happen. I would even go so far as to say that I would be surprised if we heard much about it this season. And I'm hoping that we don't hear anything about it this season because the basketball is just that good. But if the basketball isn't quite where Luka and the Lakers expect it to be, I do think this would be the year that you start to see those seeds planted, no pun intended, Kawhi, that might lead to, what's going on over there in Dallas? Might be fun to play with Cooper Flagg over there. Look at all of the youth that they assembled over there in Dallas, right? Like those are some of the stories that, like, if the Lakers aren't quite where they need to be, you might start hearing a little bit more about them. So just wanted to sprinkle that in as something to be aware of over the course of the season. But I sure as hell hope that we get to focus a lot more on the basketball side of things as it pertains to Luka Doncic's season in 2026, 2027. Good Lord, I'm old. All right, let's wrap this thing up by making some predictions here for Luka, based on increased usage, maybe a couple steps up defensively. Maybe he will really need to shoot the ball better next season than he shot the ball last year. That was a big part of why his March was as incredible as it was. And so let's go ahead and try to forecast what this all might look like. Starting with, his stats last season, played 64 games, averaged 33.5 points per game, averaged 7.7 rebounds per game. He averaged 8.3 assists per game, shooting 47.6% from the field, 36.6% from three-point range, and 78% from the free throw line. I would like to see that improve. That was that all combined from a shooting standpoint for an effective field goal percentage of 56.3%, which was slightly above his career number. He was good for 9.5 win shares last year. An altogether very, very good season for Luka Doncic, but one that, quite frankly, wouldn't be good enough this upcoming year, starting with the number of games that he played. He played last year and only was eligible for end of season awards and all NBA selection because the Laker or the league considered or granted him an exception for missing a game because of the birth of his child. So that obviously, 64 games, I would like to see that creep up into the 70s. I do think that, last year was the first year of his body transformation. Remember all of the hype surrounding, oh man, look at skinny Luka this, skinny Luka that. And a lot of times with some of those body transformation things, those habits really take hold in the second year. Those habits really become habits in that second year. Rather than going from adjustments, they become habits in the second year. They become second nature in that second year. So I actually think from a conditioning and physicality standpoint, Luka might actually be better next season than last year. So I would pretty comfortably say he'll be in that like high 60s, low 70s range. I don't want him playing 82 games over the course of the season, especially given the amount of responsibilities that he's going to have on his plate. I would like to see the Lakers manage his minutes, manage his availability. We've already seen them come out with their preseason schedule, and I think they have one of the lighter preseason schedules in the league, which is pretty consistent, honestly, with how the Lakers feel about preseason and exhibition games. They just don't really value them very much. But I think part of that is they need Luka healthy towards the end of the season, and they cannot have another situation next year where you get him through the entirety of the season, he is playing his best basketball of the year, and then he tweaks that hammy right before the playoffs and wasn't able to play in the postseason at all. So from a games played standpoint, slight uptick there, not a huge one, but a slight one from Luka. And from a shot selection standpoint, that's another spot where I think he can help himself a little bit here, making a few more free throws, taking a few more easier threes per game this season, rather than the degree of difficulty that he shot the threes that he shot last season at. So that's another spot where I think Luka could maybe help himself out a little bit. But for the most part, offensively, the season that Luka had last season was pretty insane, pretty incredible. The big step forward that the Lakers are going to need from him this year is going to be on the defensive side of the ball, the availability aspect of basketball. And I think also with no LeBron being there and given how young this team is outside of Kevon Looney and Matisse Thybulle, the leadership standpoint, Luka's going to need to step up and be a leader on this team in ways that he didn't necessarily have to be last season. So if he combines all of that, which I think he's very capable of doing it, I think Luka will contend year in, year out for the MVP award. I think he will be a first team all NBA player next season. And I think you're looking at enough momentum in the regular season to carry him through to the postseason when that's when he'll truly be judged as a Laker. We as Lakers fans have been blessed from the standpoint of the caliber of regular seasons we've seen from players like Magic Johnson, Kareem, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, and even Luka last year, where Luka needs to etch himself in stone alongside those other Lakers greats. That's going to have to happen in the postseason, and it hasn't so far for him. That first series against Minnesota, where he was sick and he wasn't quite himself quite yet, he was coming off of that calf thing. That was, by his standards, a pretty bad series. He wasn't able to play at all in last year's postseason. So next year, the biggest thing and the most critical aspect of the season for him is going to be in that postseason. And where I think the expectation for him and the expectation for this Lakers team is to not just win a first round series, to not merely get a home court advantage in that first round series, but to win that one, maybe the one after it, and get all the way at least to a Western Conference Finals. Am I demanding that they win a championship? No, that would be ridiculous given the amount of work that Rob Pelinka put off to this last offseason. But they do need to build off of last year, and last year they won a playoff round. So this season, win that first playoff round, ideally go into that second playoff round as something more than a team with a puncher's chance. And then from there, see what you could do to maybe get all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And you know, is this something I would bank on or bet on? Maybe not, but I do think it's possible. And if Luka plays at an MVP level throughout the regular season and carries that level of play into the postseason, and the Lakers go into a couple of series with the best player in the series, that's how you arrive at the type of step forward that we as Lakers fans are expecting from this team next year. So here's hoping it happens. All right. So that is going to do it here for this Luka Doncic player preview. This is going to be one of several throughout this series, especially while I'm on vacation. The plan, look, I will have my recording stuff with me while I'm there staying with my folks for this upcoming vacation. So now you guys have seen shows from there. It's from my like little brother's bedroom, and the Wi-Fi isn't as good as the Wi-Fi that I have here. So hopefully the Jonathan Kuminga thing runs all the way through to when we are back here and we get the breaking news like the day after I land back here in Austin. But if that isn't the case, then I'll go live right away and break down either that or whatever breaking news that we get while I'm there back in Southern California. But until then, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast. And please check out Prize Picks using the link that is in the description of this here video. Use that promo code HMA. And follow the show on Prize Picks as well. I think it's at Lakers Lounge as well. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.